One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" "This is the most important," Jesus answered. "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second law is, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. Then we turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and that's on page 162, and it's the first 9 verses. "This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your son and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates."
Thanks, Dale, for reading, and thanks, Becky, for sharing with us before. I really appreciated that. My wife, Ruth, isn't here. She's unwell tonight. Comes down a bit of a flu, but she went with Becky to the Attorney General and shared some of her story. And one of the things that was raised was testing. They do more and more testing on children, and there's going to get research where they're going to test for likelihoods of things like cancer and things like that. And one of the things that Ruth shared to the Attorney General of New South Wales was our son, many of you know, has died a couple of years ago from cancer. One of the lines that he said to us was, "Thank you for 16 years. And I think that sharing that with the Attorney General is a good thing to do, that we value life no matter how short it is, and we worship a God who gives life. I'm going to lead us in prayer. It's great. We're going to look at this part of God's word, and let's pray that God's Holy Spirit will be with us. Father God, thank you so much for your word, and Father, I pray that your spirit would be at work in us. Thank you for the people who are here, for people who are brand new to our church. Thank you for those who have been invited by friends, for those who are just visiting for a season, for those who are members with us, for those who have been here a long time. We pray for every one of us, no matter where we are, that something in your word would be powerful and speak to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If I ask this question, do you love God? How do you feel about that question? Do you love God? It's a big question, yeah. Do you love God? There'll be some people who are real words kind of people, and they'll want to say, "Yeah, I love God." There'll be other people who are real actions people and say, "I don't want to say that I love God. I just want to show that I love God." Well, I want those who are actions people to use their words more and to say they love the Lord, and those who are just only words to follow it up with action. Don't just say you love God, live it. I was reading a devotional book, and it was written by a Sri Lankan pastor, and he was visiting a church, and there was someone who was singing so emotionally, really enjoying the songs and praises, and this Sri Lankan pastor went up to him and said, "I don't know you, but you look like you just love the Lord." And the man said, "I would die for the Lord Jesus Christ." But then later on he found out this guy wasn't living God's way and didn't really care about the commandments of Jesus. Some people can just say these words and get emotional and not live the actions. Well, God's word calls us the words and the actions. But perhaps there's another reason you might not like this question, do you love God? Perhaps there's like a reasons from the Bible. Maybe you might think these. It doesn't matter, this question, because God's love's more important. That's kind of right, isn't it? God's love is much more important than our love. The whole point of the message of Christianity is that Jesus loves us. God loves his enemies and gave his life for us. And also, we're saved by faith, not by love. If we were saved by love, like, none of us would be saved, because none of us can love God enough. We're saved by trusting him, that he's got all the answers and we don't. We come with empty hands to the Lord. And so that kind of makes the question, I don't need to talk about love, I want to talk about faith. Or maybe you say, well, I can't love God as I should. So, look, if I can't do it and I just keep making mistakes, why should I bother even asking the question? None of us are perfect. Or you might be one of these people who says, no, it's not loving God, it's loving people that matters. Now, that's more of a practical way of living out the love of God. There might be some of the sort of the reasons you might not even like the question, but let me just say, the Bible doesn't walk with you on this one. Jesus says the most important commandment is to love God with everything. Mark 12. The way that Christians are described throughout the Bible, like this one in Romans, God works for the good of those who love God. The end of the book of Ephesians 6, says, "Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ." It's who we are as Christians, people who love the Lord. Even this phrase, you know, knowledge inflates with pride, but love builds up. And sometimes we take that verse to mean, oh, look, knowledge about God just makes everyone proud and arrogant, but love of other people is what builds up. But actually, the next verse says, but if anyone loves God, it's known by him. It's actually about love of God builds up. Knowledge of things just puffs us up, but love of God is what builds up. And there are other parts of the Bible later in that same book. If anyone doesn't love the Lord, a curse be on him. Maranatha. That is, come, Lord Jesus, come. The world is divided between those who love the Lord, who love his return, and those who do not love the Lord and don't want him to come back. And even Jesus said these kind of lines, like, a person who loves his father and mother more than me isn't worthy. A person who loves his son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. You see, a love of God, love of Jesus, is so much the heart of the Christian response. In fact, at the end of, after Jesus died and rose again, he said to his disciple Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "You know I do." He said it again. And then a third time he said to Peter, "Do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that Jesus asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus wanted his disciples to love other people, to love his sheep. But to love his sheep, what did they have to do first and foremost? They had to love the shepherd. They had to love the Lord Jesus before he could say, trust him with loving his people. And then there's the 747 verse, Luke 7:47, which just cuts through, blasts through religious hypocrisy. The person who's forgiven much loves much. Maybe we should reassess this idea of not liking the question, do you love God? Let's not say it doesn't matter because of these things, but let's say, in fact, yes, God's love is more important, but he calls us to love him back. Yes, we're saved by faith, but the way we express that faith is by love, and as saved people, is to love the Lord with everything. Yes, we can't love God as we should, but we're not called to remain in guilt. We're called to express ourselves in relationship with God. And yes, loving people is key, but the first commandment is to love God, and the second is like it, to love your neighbour as yourself. Now, all of this, I want to give as background introduction. Sometimes we look at what we call biblical theology, the story of the Bible, and we look at the Old Testament, and then at the end we say, yes, it's all about Jesus. I think it's often better to say, no, we know it's about Jesus. Let's look back at the Old Testament. That's what we're doing today. And we know that God calls us to love. And so we're looking at this part of the Bible. And let's step into it, though, into this time that he's talking. This is the time when Moses is leading the people to the edge of the promised land. And he's saying, you're going to enter that land. Moses is himself going to die and never enter that land. And he's giving the people the message of what to do in that land. Moses is giving his last will and testimony, in a sense, so that the people of God will keep going. And the journey here is from the fire to the promised land. The chapter before talks about, from Deuteronomy, the Lord spoke the commands in a loud voice to your entire assembly. This is talking about the Ten Commandments. From the fire, under a cloud and thick darkness to the mountain, and he added nothing more and wrote them on the two stone tablets and gave them. And the people, you know what the people did? When they heard the voice of the Lord speak in the fire, they didn't say, this is great, let's hear more and more. They said, we can't hear this again. Because if we keep hearing the voice of God, we're going to die. And they begged Moses to beg God, don't speak to us again. And God gave them the Ten Commandments. But how are they to take those Ten Commandments, and we're not studying these in detail. We actually did the first five last summer, and we're going to look at the next five next summer. And so we have been doing them, but we're just moving through the book of Deuteronomy. How do they move from the Ten Commandments to the Promised Land? The section just after what we read talks about when the Lord God brings you into the promised land, Deuteronomy 6. And he gives you like houses and vineyards and cities and great wealth. You should be careful not to forget the Lord your God. And really this part of God's word that we're looking at is the link. How do you make sure that the words from fire stay in the hearts of those from generation to generation in the promised land? And the link from words from God that once for all given to the generations living it in the hearts of the promised land is for people to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul and mind and strength, to bind these things around them, to walk in this daily and to keep God's commands. And for us, there is a link too. For us, we're not with Moses, we're with Jesus. How do we take the words of Jesus, the teachings of the New Testament, how do we get that and apply those words once for all given into our hearts? I think the link's the same. To love the Lord our God with all our hearts and bind these messages on us and to keep walking them always. Well, love the Lord. That's the primary command we're looking at. Love the Lord. Well, first point, love the Lord your God. He says, listen, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. What does it mean to love God? For some of us, it just feels so trite to say, I love God. For some of us, we don't like using the word love at all. Maybe we think of different forms of love. It might help us. The love of a mother to a child is the love of giving, nurturing, protecting, providing, naming, encouraging, strengthening, sympathizing. That's what a mother does to a child. The love of a soldier with a fellow soldier who is wounded, the love of that person is to help them, to walk beside them, to strengthen them, to carry them on their backs if they need to hospital. Who we love affects what love looks like. If you love a child, it means you look after and protect them. We don't look after and protect God, do we? If you love an injured person on the battlefield, it means you carry them. We don't carry God. Who you love shapes what it means to love. We love God, which means we We respect him, we fear him, and we obey him. The verses before says, this is the commandment, the statutes, the ordinance of the Lord your God has instructed me to teach, so that you may follow them in the land you're about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes, commands, which I'm giving you, your son and your grandson, so that you may have a long life. The call is for us to, is to fear the Lord. Later on, Deuteronomy says, what does the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 10:12, ask you except to fear the Lord your God by walking in his ways, to love him, to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? We sometimes think that respecting and fearing and reverencing his God is the opposite of love. But actually, the way that we love God is to treat him properly as God. It means that when we come to the Lord, we treat him more and more like God than the people who don't love him. The more the people love the Lord, they say, yes, Lord, what do you want? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to walk in your ways. I want to treat you differently to everything else. If Jesus, in fact, said these things, if you love me, you keep my commands. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. It's the test if you're a Christian. The person who loves the Lord will actually love what God says and will want to keep God's commands. It's not just a feeling. It's not just words. Because we're talking about God, it's listening to him and doing what he says. Well, it's with everything. We love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and with all our strength. It's with all the parts of our body. Sometimes we approach this, and Jesus actually adds an extra one. He adds mind, your heart and strength and mind. It's your heart and soul and mind and strength. It's not, I don't want to divide them too much. It's actually saying the whole of who we are as people. It's with every part of us, the inner person, the outer person. The bit that's going to go on for eternity, this body that God has given us for this time. All of it, we love the Lord. There's a couple of songs that really, I'll give you a kid's song and an adult song. One of the great kid's songs I love is the one that says, two little eyes to look to God, two little ears to hear his word, two little feet to walk in his ways, two little lips to sing his praise, two little hands to do his will, and one little heart to love him still. The idea is that God has given us these hands and feet and heart and lips, and all of those bits can be used for the Lord. In the Bible, it talks about how that people are given over to lying lips and eyes that just want stuff and hearts that wander from the Lord. And God says, no, I want your eyes to look to the Lord. I want your lips to speak the truth, and I want your hearts to follow me. A song we sing as adults, I won't go through all the words, but it says, I'll just read the last two. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour out thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. The idea is we give every part to the Lord. If you're some people want to just give their emotion to the Lord, but not their minds. But God wants our minds too. Some people just want to do a mind game, but God doesn't want our minds. God wants our actions. God wants us to use the things we have, the strength we have. And sometimes that strength is not very much. Some of us maybe this week have got to points. Maybe you just felt like, I don't have much strength. God says, love the Lord your God with all your strength. It's not what you love him with what you don't have. Love him with what you do have. Love it with everything. By, how do we love the Lord, our God? I think one of the key verses is this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, therefore love him. He is the one God, there are no others. What's the most important thing? What's this, you know, the people say? The most important thing is, if I'm selling cars, what's the most important thing, my boss thinks? The most important thing is, not smiling and being friendly. The most important thing is selling the cars. If I'm a parent of a child, what's the most important thing? Well, that's a bit more complicated, but I really want to be shaping and nurturing them, perhaps equipping them to be adults. If I'm working and I don't really like my job, what's the most important thing is just to get it done and get out of there. But what's the most important thing? How does this finish? The most important thing is to keep the most important thing as the most important thing. This is what this command is actually saying. Love the Lord. The Lord is one. He is the most, he is it, number one. He is the center. Keep him as the most important thing. This commandment is the reason that all the law and the prophets come out, hang from this. This commandment sums up all of the way of living because it keeps the most important thing as the most important thing. If we love him with all our hearts and minds and souls and strength. And we do that by writing on our hearts. The people had to hear the words and then live out the words. And it wasn't just meant to be an external thing. It was something that was actually meant to be written on the inside. The heart is the inner person. Your very, very inner person. That's where we need to bind and write these things. In the New Testament, God actually says he's going to write his law in our hearts. So God will do with us that writing on our hearts. And he wants us to write his word on our hearts. It's got to be an internal thing. Right inside. One of the things he calls us to do is repeat them. Teach our children. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit down in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Interesting here, this word, we often think about we've got to teach, we have to have some amazing qualification to be a teacher. It's actually literally the word repeat these laws. It just means saying them. If you've got ears, you've got a mouth, you can teach. You can repeat these words to those around you. He's talking in the first place of how they make sure that the generations come understand it. And for some of us, we don't have children, but there are other people in our lives we can speak and teach to. But it's interesting what he says. You teach them when you sit in the house and when you walk on the road. You kind of think, well, there's two obvious places where that happens if you're a parent. When do you sit at a house? Around meals times. It's just a wonderful place to do it. There's not many other times where you sit down and are able to do this. When you walk, we don't walk as much as we used to, but when we drive a car, you can talk. And I know some people have the best conversations with people when they're driving a car. Some people have the worst, but some people have the best. And it's when you lie down and when you get up, it's encompassing the evening and the morning. It's the whole of day. There's a formality to it, perhaps, when you sit down. But there's an informality to it just when you're walking along. There's a structure way of doing it, and there's an unstructured way of doing it. I've shared this other times, but I strongly believe this is the best approach for parents who have never done anything like this before. And that is, if you've never, ever talked about God around the mealtime, don't go home tomorrow and make it a really super heavy conversation. I actually think you'll might go backwards if you try that. I think one of the best things to do, if you don't even talk at the mealtime, I think change the structure and then later on insert the content. Start talking about something else. Start making talking at mealtime a thing you do. Start maybe even reading a book together that's got nothing to do with the Bible. And then when the kids are used to that, say, actually, you know what? We've got the structure. Let's work on the content and talk about God and read his word. Because I think when you have if you're shifting gears and culture in your home, you can work out the discipline just on the thing that doesn't matter. And when the kids have got it right, then you can move to the important stuff. But if you're already doing this, can I encourage you to keep going? I'm a bit of a free-spirited, spontaneous person, but you know what I need? I need a bookmark. We have a Bible at home. It has a bookmark. And I just go to the next page and we read the next part of it with the kids. Because as a spontaneous kind of person, That only means that I do things sometime and other times. But if I bookmark, we just read it every day. Other parents do different things, and I think this is very important. One of the things that I think is very vital about this is actually, it's interesting, God's word will be put in your heart if you speak about it. Research says, that's a stupid sentence, but research says that in a meeting, people will walk away from a meeting and give a summary, and basically their summary of their business meeting will be, someone said, what was the meeting like? And they'll just repeat all the things that they said. That's how most people remember meetings. Well, I said this, and then this, and then this. It was a great meeting. It's how we remember things if we speak. One of the things, you go to church and you listen, listen, listen. But if you don't go and speak to someone, you won't remember it. When you read your Bible yourself, you don't share that with someone, it won't stick in your head. Speaking to your kids is part of putting it on your heart. And it's not just kids. You can speak about it with anyone else. Maybe look for someone, a mate, who you can just share with what you've actually been learning. Or even a friend of mine who lives by himself and has been a widower for a while, he always encouraged people to read things out loud. Speak it out loud, so that he'll remember these things and put them, God's word, onto our hearts. It's funny that the way to our hearts so often is in the mouth and the activity of doing it. But teaching your children and living out your life. Look at this verse. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I think when he's saying these things, I think he means all the Ten Commandments, but particularly this commandment to love the Lord your God. All of the things we believe and follow about Jesus, but particularly to love him. What does it mean to bind them as signs on our hands? Who's got God's word on their hands? Maybe someone has got a tattoo or something. Who's got God's symbol on their forehead? Maybe no one's got a tattoo on the forehead of a. If you did, you'd make sure you put it in on your forehead. Make sure you do it reverse so that you can see it in the mirror. But yeah, God's word, a cross, exactly. And write them on your doorpost. It's interesting, for the Orthodox Jewish people, they do this very literally. They actually have these little boxes and these leather straps which have this command, there is one God, love the Lord your God. And they will literally bind it around seven times on their arm. They will literally tie it up on their heads and pray. I think one of the difficulties of this is it's actually a thing you just do once a week or just when you pray, but the verse is actually the exact opposite, which is saying do this always. It's got to be something that's bound on your arms and on your forehead always. It's from language of what they used to do in it's interesting, in the Passover they put the blood on the door frames. And that was to symbolize the saving. And here he's saying, write these words in your door frames. There was when they offered up the firstborn of their flock, it actually says, so let this be a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead, for the Lord brought up out of Egypt by the strength of his hand. When you offer an animal to the Lord, this is not, we don't offer animals to the Lord, I just will let you know that, just in case anyone's here for the first time. That's Old Testament. But when they did that, it was a sign on their hand and forehead. It literally means, it was a sign in front of them. And I think that's what that expression meant. It's a visible sign. Make this visible in your life. You know, some people do this in really good ways. People will put Bible verses up, and other people will, have a whiteboard and do something, or people might just underline things, or people might do things, and there's very creative people who do that. I don't do so much of that. I'm married to someone who does it. Ruth does that beautifully. But I think one of the points of all this is actually just let God's word be part of your everyday life. See, if God's word is just your life when you go to church, it's not on our hand and on our forehead. If God's word is even just our life when we do our quiet time in the morning, and I want to encourage people to read God's word, then it's not on our hand and our forehead. It's just that moment, that half an hour in the morning. But let it be that half an hour in the morning. Let it be that time at church, but let it be something that's real with us all the time. I've mentioned this movie not recently, so I'm going to do it again, but Fireproof, which is a movie about marriage, and I love it. I want to recommend it if anyone wants to watch a movie about how you do things in a very difficult time in a relationship. And one of the things that he says in Fireproof is the guy wants to leave his wife because they just don't love each other anymore. And the father says, okay, what I want you to do is 40 days of actually doing things that express your love to your wife. And the thing I love about this is he does these 40 days. He makes her coffee, rings her up, sends flowers. I love about this movie is that it doesn't change her at all. At the end of 40 days, I'm spoiling the movie, she's not interested. But at the end of 40 days, what happens? He changes. And I actually think this is the key for people who don't think, I am a bit cold, I don't know if I love the Lord. Have you actually walked in his ways and done something? Could I encourage you just every day to do something that's real expression of loving the Lord? And it might be something very small. And perhaps we should make a 40-day challenge to love the Lord, where it could just be, I'm going to say one prayer today. Or it could be saying, I'm going to read one verse in God's word and think about it. Or it could be, I'm just going to visit one person who's sick in hospital and just is separated, or someone who's just isolated. And the more we do and put into practice loving God, the person who's going to be changed is us. We're going to emotionally love the Lord more. And this is why I think he says, bind them on a sign on your hands and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Let this be a part of your life, your hand. When you look in the mirror, your face. When you come home, your house. Let it be how you wake up and go to bed. Let it live out. Remember to love. How are we going to make sure we move from God's holy word to lived out lives for the rest of our lives for him? From people who know the Lord and are saved by Jesus to actually people who want to just live for Jesus and continue to love Jesus. I hope to this point, I hope you're convinced that loving God is a key thing. Loving God should not be something we're embarrassed about as Christians. It should actually be the way we describe ourselves. I love the Lord. We love the Lord. In fact, we're called to love him with everything. With our heart and soul and mind and strength. Well, let me introduce you to four people. And they're made up people. But they're actually not made up. Neville's new. I've made each of them so the name starts with a thing. Neville's new. And when he found out about Jesus, he didn't love Jesus at all. He was interested in Jesus and he found that Jesus loved him. And Neville put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Neville now starts to love Jesus because he's being forgiven by him. And so Neville, as a new Christian, is now working out, what is it that the Lord wants? How do I love him with everything? What are the things that he needs of me? And he seeks God's will and reads God's word and learns. And he makes mistakes, like all of us. But Neville's learning what it means to love the Lord. Tegan is a tired Christian. It's hard to know whether she's tired spiritually, emotionally, or physically. She feels like she's tired all of the above. And she's just tired. And she doesn't even know whether she loves God anymore. Well, Tegan needs to remember that Jesus gave himself for her and actually calls her to a high calling to love the Lord. Tegan needs to remember that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. Tegan actually doesn't have to wait for the feelings to come, but actually has to stoke those feelings by walking in God's ways and putting into practice things, actions that say, I'm not doing what I want, I'm not doing what I always do, even in a small way that no one else knows, I'm going to love the Lord. It might be something absolutely minuscule. It might be she's never given anything to anyone and she's just saying, you know what, I'm going to make a special trip and get extra bunch of cans. tin cans to give to people who need it, like wear boxes out there. And she's not doing that for anyone's recognition, but she does it because she loves the Lord. It might mean making a commitment to God's people. To saying, you know what? Yeah, sure, the movie on Saturday night is great. I don't even know if there are movies on Saturday night. The movie is great, or sure, there's this other option, but I'm just going to stay at church and be with God's people because, not just for their sakes, but because I love the Lord. As if she was in leadership. You know, it's no good just to grow in love for other people. Jesus wanted Peter to love the shepherd before he loved the sheep. Well, Neville's new, Tegan's tired. Patricia is a parent. Patricia's going to work out how she can help her family. And she's going to start small. Pray about it, think about it. Not rush into it. Not do this crunch of gears that puts everyone off. But she's going to work out how it is that she can, in a formal way, maybe one little structured way, teach her children about Jesus. Repeat something. Just repeat what she's read herself. And then in a more unstructured way, just look for those little chats. The drive to school. The drive to a birthday party when everyone's tired and it's a lot easier to listen to the news. Patricia's going to turn that off and have a quiet chat with her child. I grew up in a Christian family. I've shared this before. I wasn't asked whether I was a Christian until I was 15. I reckon there are many kids who are running around. They're pretty quiet tonight, but they're running around and running around who probably have never had an adult ask them if they're a believer and where they're at. And maybe their parents haven't even asked them. And Davesh, doing well. Well, here's my question. Does he need to do anything about this? You know what? He needs to keep loving the Lord with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. Davesh's problem is he's doing it already. He's loving the Lord. He needs to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. Which means never moving from loving God, but always fueling himself by loving God. What about you? Let me ask you again, do you love God? I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to answer to God. It's not a burden to love the Lord. It's a privilege. It means we're part of his family. And it's not a burden to express it. It's one of the highest joys that God gives his people is the ability to live out loving God. Let's pray and then we'll sing our final song. Almighty God, thank you so much for your word, and we pray that you would speak, to continue to write this word on our hearts even though we've heard it. We need your Holy Spirit to deeply imprint it on us. Father, we pray for anything that we need to change. We pray that we might learn habits of encouraging love, whether it be church, just committing more to God's people, whether it be looking for times to speak about your word, to read your word, whether it be just little actions that we can do. So I just want to pray right now for anyone who is new. I pray for these people who are new with us today, and we pray that they might, some of them do love you already, and we pray that they might grow in that love. We pray for anyone who's feeling tired. They might remember their first love. I pray for anyone who's a parent that they might start simply or keep pushing forward in whatever way they already are in repeating these things to their kids. And we pray for anyone who's doing well that they would not sit on their laurels but actually would continue to grow in their love for you, to walk in your ways, to worship you and to fear you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.